Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Tom, and today we're actually going to talk about children's books, especially books for very young kids. But, well, I would still be interested in reading these books from time to time because they are very creative and they have really imaginative illustrations.
Yeah. Now, you've got a daughter, haven't you?
I do.
Have you read these to her, with her?
Actually, unfortunately, I don't think I had a lot of Dr. Seuss books on hand here in Taiwan. I guess I kind of regret that. That would have been something good to read to her, read bedtime stories to her when she was smaller. Of course, she's almost fully grown now, but these books were part of my childhood in the United States. I don't know if they're so popular in England. Do you have Dr. Seuss books there?
I didn't personally have them, but I mean, I know friends who had read them. I think we've got a lot of other children's books too, so maybe it's one of those where the market's hard, but everybody has heard of the Dr. Seuss books. I mean, there's been movies and TV shows and all sorts of stuff that made up around it. So that's who we're talking about today. Dr. Seuss, as we say in the title, one of a kind with a brilliant mind. So let's read through the article and find out all about him.
The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham are not just children's books with catchy titles. With their repetitive sounds, limited vocabulary, and wacky plots, these children's classics revolutionized the way children learn to read. The creator behind these and many other clever books was none other than American author and illustrator Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known by his pseudonym Dr. Seuss. Geisel, who had a knack for wit, began entertaining people with his cartoons while studying at Dartmouth College. After graduating, Geisel attended Oxford University with the intention of becoming a professor. However, on the advice of Helen Palmer, a fellow student, who later became his wife, Geisel dropped out of Oxford to pursue a career in illustration. After returning to the U.S., Geisel published cartoons and advertisements for various magazines. He was rejected 27 times before he finally published his first children's book, And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. However, Geisel did not become a household name until he accepted a challenge to write a fun book using specific words. The result was the famous book The Cat in the Hat, which made reading enjoyable for children. Geisel played with the sounds of words, and his sentences followed a predictable rhythm. These approaches not only amused children, but also made it easier for them to learn how to read. Geisel never had children of his own, but he knew how to make children think and wonder, wonder and think. With the help of rhyme and rhythm, he used his books to address social issues like prejudice and environmental conservation. Geisel earned numerous awards and even a Pulitzer Prize for his outstanding contribution to children's literature. Even after his death in 1991, Dr. Seuss continues to be one of the most beloved children's authors today.
Okay, let's start with the title, Dr. Seuss, One of a Kind with a Brilliant Mind. Notice the little rhyme there. We'll come back to that idea of rhyming. Now, if something is one of a kind, there is nothing else like it. It is unique in its way. It's very special, and if you have anything brilliant, brilliant just means really good, kind of almost shiny in the way that it's good. So if you have a brilliant mind, you're a very intelligent, often funny, witty, smart kind of person. So the article then talks about a couple of titles of very popular children's books, The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham. And they're not just children's books with catchy titles. Something that's catchy is easy to remember, usually because it has a sort of simple and fairly popular rhythm or sound to it that easily gets stuck in your head so you don't forget it that well. So The Cat in the Hat, you've got the repetition of sounds there. Green Eggs and Ham is kind of an unusual title, and it's the sort of thing that will stick in your mind, so it is catchy.
Green Eggs, my goodness, I thought eggs were white and yellow, so where do green eggs come from? But children like that sort of stuff. stuff. And with their repetitive sounds, limited vocabulary, and wacky plots, these children's classics revolutionized the way children learn to read. So, yes, indeed, we've got these books with catchy titles, The Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham, etc. Those are catchy titles. And they've got repetitive sounds. And they've got repetitive sounds. And they've got repetitive sounds. Yes, repetitive means something is over and over. So these are sounds that you hear over and over again. And sometimes that helps learning, I guess, if you hear things more than once. I guess if you learn English vocabulary and you hear the word repetitive, well, then you'll probably remember it more easily. And they also contain limited vocabulary, which means they don't use a lot of hard words. And then they've got these really wacky plots. Wacky means kind of crazy, kind of hard to believe, but fun. And these are plots, which means the storyline, what happens in the story. Lots of silly things happen in these stories. And as a result of all that, these children's classics revolutionized the way children learn to read.
Yeah, they changed the way that things were done. Previously, they might have gotten old storybooks or children's stories. Now, these are a new kind of one using this rhythm, this rhyme that we're going to talk about. And children will learn in a different way from reading them, and they'll become very popular. Now, the creator behind these, that's The Cat in the Hat and Green Eggs and Ham, and many other clever books, was none other than American author and illustrator Theodore Seuss Geisel, better known by his pseudonym Dr. Seuss. If we use the phrase none other than, this is to emphasize the identity of something, often the surprising identity. Here we're kind of using it to introduce basically a famous and well-known person that you've probably heard the name of, but maybe you didn't connect up with the books that well. Maybe you've only seen a movie or something like that, or you've heard a friend mention it, but you're aware of it. And now you know, it's him. It's none other than this person. And not only was he an author, a writer, he was an illustrator, which means he drew the illustrations or pictures for his book. So he didn't just write them. He did all the pictures, all the drawings that you'll see there. And now his real name is Theodore Seuss Geisel, but he's better known by his pseudonym. A pseudonym, and sometimes we can call this a pen name, is a different name that people use when they are writing, which is different to the name they'll use in day-to-day life and business and official documents and so on and things like that. So a lot of authors do choose a fake name just to kind of hide their publicity a bit, or sometimes they'll go by their initials. J.K. Rowling was asked to choose that instead of Jane so that the readers wouldn't know at the start whether she was male or female.
Something like that.
Yep.
So I guess you could say that's kind of a pseudonym. I remember back in the 60s, there was a famous doctor in the U.S. who wrote books about baby care, and his name was Dr. Spock. I don't even know what his real name was, but Dr. Spock was his pseudonym. But in this particular case, Theodore Seuss Geisel was known mostly by his pseudonym, Dr. Seuss. And I do have to admit that before today's lesson, I didn't know who Dr. Seuss really was. I didn't know his real name. Now, let's talk about Theodore Seuss Geisel. Geisel, who had a knack for wit, began entertaining people with his cartoons while studying at Dartmouth College. And Dartmouth College is a famous college in the USA. I think it's on the East Coast there somewhere. But in any case, he was attending this university. And he had a knack for wit. If you have a knack for something, that means you kind of have some sort of special skill that you're born with. And wit means humor, basically an ability to make people laugh, especially if you're being very clever with word usage and things like that. So he entertained people by drawing these cartoons when he was at university. He drew those cartoons. Maybe they were published in the newspaper for the university. Mm-hmm. And people saw those pictures and thought, wow, this guy's really funny.
Now, the article goes on and says after graduating, so after he'd finished his undergraduate studies, his bachelor's degree, Geisel attended Oxford University, and I'm assuming this is the Oxford in the UK one, with the intention of becoming a professor. So he wanted to stay at university, get his PhD, his doctorate, and become a lecturer and a teacher. And that's what a university professor is, one of the teachers there. And they also study and do research. So it looked like he had been kind of set for a life of academic studies and teaching other students. But then things changed. The article says, however, on the advice of Helen Palmer, a fellow student who later became his wife, Geisel dropped out of Oxford to pursue a career in illustration. On the advice of means somebody advises you to do something. So this young lady said, no, don't stay and become a professor. You're wasting your gifts as an illustrator. And so he dropped out of Oxford. He stopped his studies at Oxford University to pursue or to follow, that means, a career in illustration.
Sounds like a good choice, and the rest of us benefited as well, because we can say that we enjoy his books. And moving on to the next paragraph here, it says, after returning to the U.S. from England, Geisel published cartoons and advertisements for various magazines. Maybe he was working freelance or something like that, but he had special skills in illustration, so he went on to, you know, contact different clients, and he published various cartoons. And he published advertisements, I guess, with illustrations in those advertisements for various magazines. So if you publish something, that means it is open to purchase in the public, usually a magazine or a book. You can publish a magazine, you can publish a book, you can publish an article, you can publish a short story, etc.
Yep, and in various magazines, which means all sorts of different magazines and topics. So he didn't just do one thing. He did a number of different types of cartoons and ads in magazines using his drawing skills. Now, we're going to find out a little bit more about his career in a moment, but right now it's time to go to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们来看一下今天文章的第一个句子写着 The cat in the hat.And Green Eggs and Ham are not just children's books with catchy titles. 这里提到了这两本书呢，不是只是有着 catchy titles, 有着这种很容易记忆的标题的童书而已哦。那么这是一个关键字，它不仅只是这样，搭配这样的文意。第一题我们可以选择 D 选项 Sentence D 里面提到 With their repetitive sounds, limited vocabulary, and wacky plots, these children's classics revolutionized the way children learn to read. 在这里前面提到不仅只是童书而这些书的特色呢有着反复的声音 repetitive sounds, 还有呢这些有限的字汇以及 wacky plots, 滑稽的情节。他呢做了什么事他 revolutionized, 他改革了孩童们学习阅读的方式。这样子的文意就可以搭配前面的句子提到他不仅只是童书而已。所以第一题的标准答案就选择 D 选项。而这些书的创作者呢正是美国的作家我们称他为 Dr. Seuss。在第二个空格呢那么前面提到呢他本来就读一间叫做 Dartmouth 这样子的一个学校。那么后面的句子提到 However, on the advice of Helen Palmer, a fellow student who later became his wife, Geisel dropped out of Oxford to pursue a career in illustration.在这里要特别注意哦，他说他 dropped out of Oxford， 他从牛津大学呢辍学，然后去从事他的插画事业。那么我们第二题搭配文意可以选择 F 选项。Sentence F 提到 After graduating, Geisel attended Oxford University with the intention of becoming a professor. 所以其实他从这个学院毕业之后呢本来是要去读牛津大学要成为教授这样子才可以连接后面的 However, 然而他后来却辍学从事了插画事业。所以根据上下文意第二题的标准答案就选择F 选项。
We're going to take a short break now, but please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. Remember, we talked about the life and times of Dr. Seuss, or to be specific, Theodore Seuss Geisel, but he's better known by his pseudonym, Dr. Seuss. Remember, he published cartoons when he was studying at Dartmouth, and then he went to Oxford. He wanted to be a professor, but his classmate, who later became his wife, Helen Palmer, said, "Oh, no, you're wasting your time wanting to be a professor. You should pursue a career in illustration." So then he went back to the U.S. and published various cartoons and advertisements for some magazines. And he was rejected 27 times before he finally published his first children's book, And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. So this happens, I guess, with a lot of aspiring writers and illustrators. You've got to be rejected many times before somebody finally decides to take a chance on your work and publish your work. So I guess he wrote this book. He sent it to various publishers, and he was rejected 27 times. "No, we don't like it. It's too long. It's too short. It's too hard. Oh, people wouldn't like this. Thank you, but no thank you." And finally someone said, "Hey, this might be a hit." So they published his first children's book with the title, "And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street." So here, "and to think" means, hey, it's quite surprising that I did see something on Mulberry Street. Isn't that part of some kind of nursery rhyme or something?
It rings a bell, yeah. I'm not sure where it's from. But yeah, as Tom says, being rejected is part of being trying to get published. J.K. Rowling, we mentioned earlier, she was rejected a bunch of times for the first Harry Potter book. So it's normal. Yep. Now, he published his first book, and then we see that, however, Geisel did not become a household name until he accepted a challenge to write a fun book using specific words. So he had a book, maybe two books out there, but they weren't really famous. They weren't known. And then someone challenged him. You know, a challenge is a noun, that's a hard thing, and said, "Hey, Dr. Seuss," or "Hey, Mr. Geisel, write a book using specific words." Specific means they tell you which words to use. Maybe they pick them from a list, which I think was the case with this one, or they just said, you know, use words that are no longer than two syllables, or use these simple words, or you have to try and use these words somehow in your story. So he couldn't just make up what he liked and use whatever words he wanted. He had to stick to a particular set of words that were given to him, and that is a challenge.
It can be a challenge, but he accepted that challenge and wrote that book, and the result was the famous book, The Cat in the Hat, which made reading enjoyable for children. Now, I do remember reading that book when I was a kid. Of course, it's a cat who wears this really tall hat, and it was also later made into a live-action movie starring Mike Myers. I think that movie flopped, actually. I didn't really see that. And various cartoons have been made of the Cat in the Hat. I think I saw a small TV animated movie when I was a kid called The Cat in the Hat with somebody narrating the words to the book. That was quite fun. So, yes, the book came out. It made reading enjoyable for children. They read the book. They loved the funny use of the language and, of course, those wacky illustrations.
Yeah, I guess this is the kind of book that really is made to be read out loud. You don't read the words on the page to yourself. It's better to actually say them out, and then you can see it's almost like a song the way it runs. As we find out, Geisel played with the sounds of words, and his sentences followed a predictable rhythm. Something that's predictable, you know what's going to happen to it, it's easy to see how something will end, and in this case it's the rhythm, and the rhythm of a sentence is usually the number of words or at least the number of syllables that are used, and it follows a predictable rhythm, so you know how it's going to go. And a lot of children's nursery rhymes do have something like that. Sure. They're very easy to learn, the rhythm is very easy to pick up, something like that. If you think of like Old MacDonald Had a Farm, E-I-E-I-O, and then it follows the same pattern, and on that farm he had a something. The word changes every time, but you know that a bunch of the words are going to be the same. They're going to follow the same rhythm, so it's easy to learn it and sing along and read along.
Right, so as you're reading along, you can kind of predict or make an accurate guess about what's going to happen next. And these approaches, this method, not only amused children, but also made it easier for them to learn how to read. So I guess I remember the very early books called Dick and Jane. I don't know if you've heard of those before. See Jigs, see Dick, see Jane, see Dick, see Jane. There's Sally, there's the dog. They were, they're kind of fun, but kind of boring at the same time. But this is a new approach here. You've got these wacky drawings, and you've got this predictable rhythm, and it's a lot of fun, and you want to read it out loud, and you laugh and you giggle when your parents read this book to you at bedtime. So, my goodness, it amused children. It made them happy. And, hey, it helped encourage them to learn how to read.
Yeah, if you see a lot of words with the same ending, cat, hat, mat, sat, then you will learn the sounds of words and the sounds they make when the letters are next to each other. So that helps you then figure out the whole reading process because you're sort of seeing these repeated sounds, like we said earlier, repetitive sounds, predictable rhythm, and all of these things. So you'll understand the use of words and how they all fit together a lot quicker. Now, this surprises me, actually. I never knew this, the start of this next paragraph. Geisel never had children of his own. I would have thought he probably had them and, you know, read these tales to them and tried the stories out on his own kids first. But no, he didn't have any. But he knew how to make children think and wonder, wonder and think. So I guess he understood the child's imagination and what makes them ask questions and think of funny things and want to learn more.
Yeah, well, actually, this doesn't sound surprising to me as the father of a child because you get busy raising the child, and maybe you just don't have time to think of funny ways to entertain them. So here, I guess, because he didn't have any children, maybe he had time to use his own imagination to think and wonder and to wonder and think at the same time. And with the help of rhyme and rhythm, he used his books to address social issues like prejudice and environmental conservation. So he's using rhyme here. You mentioned some examples there. Cat, hat, fat, etc. Those are words that rhyme. And we've got rhythm. That's rhythm. So, of course, that got people interested in reading them, and they would address various social issues. To address means basically to talk about, to focus on, to mention this thing. Their prejudice, that means prejudice against other I guess different kinds of people, whether it be race or gender or disposition, whether you're handicapped or not, and also environmental conservation, which means protecting the environment, making sure we don't use up all the resources and we don't pollute things, etc.
Yeah, and he would have been very clever to use nice, simple ways just to get those messages into children's head, like treat everybody the same, no matter who they are or what they look like, or look after the plants and the trees and the animals because they're beautiful and we need them. And so just by simple lessons, that's how you can address social issues for children. Now, we also see that Geisel earned numerous awards and even a Pulitzer Prize for his outstanding contribution to children's literature. Numerous means a lot. He's got a lot of awards, not just one or two. He's got a whole bunch. Now, Pulitzer Prize, that's for all kind of written work, I believe, any kind of writing, books, journalism.
Yeah, usually the prize was for outstanding work in journalism or newspapers, but it expanded to other things like novels and, in this particular case, children's literature. So he won a Pulitzer Prize for his outstanding contribution to children's literature. Your contribution, of course, is what you give to something to make it better. Outstanding means something that is better than what other people have done. It really stands out. It's outstanding. It's stupendous. It's wonderful. And literature, of course, just refers to things you can read, like books, magazines, etc.
Yeah, and we often use the word literature when we talk about written works or plays and things like that that continue to be popular for a long, long time. So Shakespeare's stuff, Dickens's stuff, any books written hundreds of years ago that are still popular today become literature, and children's literature in the same way. Dr. Seuss wrote these books a long time ago, but they're still being used to teach kids. So it's not just this sort of anything that's written down. It's the sort of stuff that stays around, the sort of stuff that has a great deal of enduring popularity is what we think of when we talk about literature.
Indeed.
So even after his death in 1991, so sadly he has passed away now, Dr. Seuss continues to be one of the most beloved children's authors today. Something is beloved, it's greatly loved. Many people think fondly of him. They pass those books down, you know, parents read them. They give them to their children, who pass them on to their children. And they keep reading those stories and enjoying them and learning how to read from them. So his work just continues to survive. Even though new children's books are written, people still go back to Dr. Seuss's stuff. It's that good.
And you may actually have to read the actual book. If you want to read The Cat in the Hat, you might have to make a trip to your local bookstore to see if they've got some copies. I'm sure they do. Okay, that brings us to the end of our lesson for today. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
在第三个空格前面的句子提到 He was rejected 27 times before he finally published his first children's book. And to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street. 他其实呢在出版第一本童书之前就被拒绝了27次。然后这样的第三个空格的句子后面提到 The result was the famous book. 那么后果呢就是后来我们所知道的非常有名的这本书叫做 The Cat in the Hat 第三个空格想要搭配前后文句我们可以选择 A 选项 Sentence A 提到 However, Geisel did not become a household name until he accepted a challenge to write a fun book using specific words在这里提到呢他呢要一直到接受挑战要用特定的字 using specific words 来写一本有趣的书他才成为了一个家喻户晓的名字在这里我们讲到的是 become a household name 所以搭配文意第三题前面提到被拒绝了27次才出本了第一本书然而呢要一直接受挑战写了后面的这一本他才真正成为一个有名的作家跟插画家所以搭配前后文意第三题的标准答案就选择 A 选项第四个空格前面的句子提到 Geisel played with the sounds of words and his sentences followed a predictable rhythm 在这里提到呢他呢非常懂得玩弄文字的声音而且他写出来的句子呢也是跟随着可预测的节奏在这里我们要注意哦 followed a predictable rhythm 搭配这样的文意第四题我们可以选择 E 选项 These approaches 这些方法也就是前面提到的玩弄文字的声音还有这些可预测的节奏 These approaches not only amused children but also made it easier for them to learn how to read 这样的方式不仅让小朋友读起来觉得有趣而且呢也学习如何阅读对他们来讲变成是一件更容易的事了所以搭配文意第四题我们可以选择的标准答案是 E 选项最后第五个空格前面的句子提到 Geisel earned numerous awards and even a Pulitzer Prize for his outstanding contribution to children's literature那么这位呢伟大的 Dr. Seuss 他不仅呢赢得了很多的奖项numerous awards 甚至呢也因为呢他对于这个儿童文学的杰出贡献而获得了普利兹奖搭配这样的文意第五题我们可以选择 C 选项 Sentence C 提到 Even after his death in 1991 Dr. Seuss continues to be one of the most beloved children's authors today 尽管他在1991年过世后那么他仍旧是今日最受喜爱的童书作者之一 OK 以上就是今天的课文讲解谢谢收听
Okay, that is the end of our article. We hope we've introduced the man behind Dr. Seuss, the creator of all of these amusing and fantastic children's books. A great thing, you know, if one day you have kids, you want to get them learning English, this is a really good little book or set of books you can get to start them off. And that's all for us today at English Digest. I'm Pat.
And I'm Tom.
We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.